الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فنحن في صدد التكلم عن الفوائد التي استنبطها الشيخ عبد الرحمن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله من قصة موسى والخضر في سورة الكهف. We were in the process of enumerating the benefits and the rulings that the Shaykh Sa'di deduced from the story of Musa and Khidr in Surah Al-Kahf. And the last thing we mentioned, or actually where we stopped last and where we will continue today, inshaAllah, is the statement of the Shaykh, وَمِنْهَا أَنْ مَنْ لَيْسَ لَهُ قُوَّةُ الصَّبْرِ عَلَى سَحْبَةِ الْعَالِمِ وَالْعِلْمِ وحسن الثبات على ذلك أو حسن الثبات على ذلك أنه يفوته بحسب عدم صبره كثير من العلم أو كثير من العلم على حسب ما هو أصح في اللغة العربية التي أنا من الجاهلين بها. فمن لا صبر له لا يدرك العلم، ومن استعمل الصبر ولازمه أدرك به كل أمر سعي فيه، لقول الخضر يعتذر عن موسى بذكر المانع لموسى من الأخذ عنه أنه لا يصبر معه. The Shaykh said, among the benefits is that the person who doesn't have enough patience to be in the company of a scholar and to be in the company of seeking knowledge, if a person lacks patience, doesn't have enough patience, he would be missing out on goodness in an amount that is proportional to his lack of patience. The less patience, the more knowledge you will miss. The less patience, the more knowledge you will miss. So whomever has no patience, he will not attain knowledge. And whomever uses patience and exercises it, he will attain with it everything that he is aiming for. Because the statement of the Khidr, when he apologized to Musa, and why he rejected him, he said, you will have no patience. You will have no patience regarding that which you will see. Another benefit, وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ السَّبَبَ الْكَبِيرَ لِحُصُولِ الصَّبْرِ إِحَاطَةِ الْإِنسَانُ عِلْمًا وَخِبْرَةً بِذَلِكَ الْأَمْرِ الَّذِي أُمِرَ بِالصَّبْرِ عَلَيْهِ وَأَلَّفَ الَّذِي لَا يَدْرِي أَوْ لَا يَدْرِي غَايَتَهُ وَلَا نَتِيجَتَهُ وَلَا فَائِدَتَهُ وَثَمَرَتَهُ لَيْسَ عِنْدَهُ سَبَبًا لِلصَّبْرِ وَلَيْسَ عِنْدُ سَبَبِ الصَّبْرِ لِقَوْلِهِ وَكَيْفَ تَصْبِرُ عَلَى مَا لَمْ تُحِطْ بِهِ خُبْرًا. فجعل الموجب لعدم صبره عدم إحاطته خيرا عدم إحاطته خبرا بالأمر أو خبرا بالأمر خبرا خبرا بالأمر. The Shaykh said, one of the main reasons that will help a person attain the quality of patience, meaning being patient, is for the person to have knowledge about that which he's supposed to be patient about. You have to have knowledge about that which you're supposed to be patient about, because the person who doesn't know it, or he doesn't know what is objective, what the goal, what the outcome of the thing, he has no reason to be patient. Because Musa told him, and how will you be patient regarding that which you have known, that which you have not encompassed in knowledge? So he made the reason why he will not be able to be patient, him not knowing. Yani, for example, yeah, one. Now, let's say a family member of ours dies, passes away. In order for you to have patience, you have to have knowledge of the wisdom of Allah and the mercy of Allah and the rule and the decree of Allah, and that this is part of the will of Allah that every soul shall face death. Tayyib, with the knowledge that we know about this as being something that Allah had decreed for the son of Adam, because of our knowledge regarding that, we will be patient when the news comes to us, versus a person who doesn't know the objective of life, doesn't believe in hell and in heaven, doesn't believe in God, period. When a calamity befalls them, like someone dying, they may lose their mind. They will not be patient. They may kill themselves. They may do anything. Why? Because they do not have be patient about. So among the things that help us have patience is knowing what is it that we need to be patient about. ومنها وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله الأمر بالتأني والتثبت وعدم المبادرة إلى الحكم على الشيء حتى يعرف ما يراد منه وما هو المقصود. Another benefit is that a person or one should be careful and easy, slowly, be cautious, and don't hasten to judge. Don't be quick in judging things until you know what is intended of that particular thing and why it is being done. So to be patient, to be wise, to be cautious before you automatically speak. Sometimes we all fall into that. A brother, you know, is late. For example, we say, this brother man is always late, and da da da, and maybe this brother got in an accident. You know, somebody will say, maybe something's wrong. No, nothing's wrong with him, I know him. He's just late. He just doesn't like to come on time. You may judge like that. You may be very much wrong. So a person needs to take it easy. Be cautious before you automatically rule something. ومنها تعليق الأمور المستقبلة التي من أفعال العباد بالمشيئة وألا يقول الإنسان للشيء إني فاعل ذلك في المستقبل إلا أن يقول إن شاء الله. Among the benefits deduced is that whenever we want to speak about the future, whenever we want to speak about the future from the things that involve our actions, we should always condition it with the will of Allah, inshallah. And a person shouldn't say, I will do this in the future, except that he should say, inshallah. Even when you say to someone, I'll see you tomorrow, I'll see you later, I'll call you back, I'll call you in a few hours, you have to say inshallah. Otherwise, you don't know whether you'll be able to do that. So you have to, put the mashi'a here as a condition. This is pertaining to the actions of the servants. نعم. ومنها أن العزم على فعل الشيء ليس بمنزلة فعله. فأن موسى قال ستجدني إن شاء الله صابرا فوطن نفسه على الصبر ولم يفعل. Furthermore, we understand that having the firm desire to do something is not equal to the actual action. You may really want to do something, but when the time comes, you won't be able to do it. Because Musa said, you will find me inshallah patient. And he prepared himself to be patient, and when the time came, he was unable to be patient. ومنها أن المعلم إذا رأى المصلحة في إيذاعه للمتعلم أن يترك الابتداء في السؤال عن بعض الأشياء حتى يكون المعلم هو الذي يوقفه عليها. Among the benefits is that the teacher, if he finds a benefit in preventing the student from asking about things, okay? The teacher can, we deduce from the story that it's okay for the teacher to tell the student, don't ask me about nothing. Okay, I'm just going to speak, I'm going to explain, even if you have some questions, don't ask. Until the teacher finds it suitable for him to bring it to his attention. فَإِنَّ الْمَصْلَحَ تُتَّبَعْ أَوْ تُتْبَعْ كَمَا إِذَا كَانَ فَهْمَهُ قَاصِرًا. Because you want to really look for the benefit. Maybe his understanding is deficient. أَوْ نَهَاهُ عَنْ الدقيق بسؤال أشياء التي غيرها أهملها. Or maybe the teacher wants to prevent him from asking insignificant questions which may distract him from the more important questions. أَوْ لَا يُدْرِكَهَا يُدْرِكُهَا يُدْرِكَهَا ذِهْنُهُ. Or his mind may not understand. أو يسأل سؤالا لا يتعلق في موضوع البحث. Or maybe he will ask a question that is not relevant to the subject matter. Among the benefits, ومنها جواز ركوب البحر في غير الحالة التي يخاف منها. Now look at the Sheikh, he's deducing benefits, يعني Some of them are obvious, and some of them are not really obvious. Here is something that maybe one of us will never think about. The permissibility of riding in the ocean, of sailing in the ocean, because that's what they were doing, right? If it was haram, then Musa alayhi salam wouldn't have done it. So that means it's halal to go on a ship and travel upon it. Of course, we know this from other textual evidences, like Nuh alayhi salam and what have you. But it was never narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sailed himself in a boat. So because of that, we get it from the Quran, the permissibility of riding in that boat or ship or what have you. Unless the person is afraid that he may, there may be some storm or something, then you don't destroy yourself, you stay on land. ومنها أن الناس غير مؤاخذ بنسيانه لا في حق الله ولا في حقوق العباد لقوله ولا تؤاخذني بما نسيت. Very important rule.
السلام
عليكم. And also among the rules is that the person is not held accountable for forgetfulness. You are not reliable for forgetfulness. You may forget whether it is pertaining to the rights of Allah or whether it is pertaining to the rights of the servants. Because Musa told Al-Khidr, لَا تُؤَخِذْنِي بِمَا نَسِيتْ. Do not hold me accountable for that which I forgot. I forgot. Likewise, if a brother promised you to meet you somewhere, and then he never showed up, and when you see him, you say, "Akhi, what happened to you? You made me wait in the street for half an hour, blah, blah, blah." He tells you, I forgot. You have to accept that. You cannot tell him, no such thing as that, you forgot. I don't believe in anything you forgot. No, you cannot forget. How can you tell someone you cannot forget? You cannot help but forget. That's for you. That's part of they say the word insan comes from the word nisyan. Nisyan is forgetfulness. The word insan, human, came from forgetfulness. This is one. Two, it's a mercy from Allah that we forget. It is a mercy from Allah that we forget. If we didn't forget, none of us could ever live a happy life. Can you imagine if when you were a young kid, the big guy in school beat you up and you were hurt? If you didn't forget, you'll be hurt till today. You'll be walking around with tears going down your eyes. Why? You're still hurt, you can't forget that day he beat you up. If any one of your family member died, if you can't forget, you can't live life anymore. It's a mercy from Allah that we forget things. Otherwise, if we kept everything, we would be sad and distressed. Alhamdulillah. And so of course, the forgetfulness is excused. Whether you forget something pertaining to the rights of Allah, such as your fasting, and you wake up in the morning, you forget that you're fasting, you grab a sandwich and you start having your breakfast. Then you remember, your fasting is correct. And Allah will not hold you accountable for forgetting, because you really forgot. Now some people think they can play games. They say, I'm going to pretend that I forgot and I'm going to eat a sandwich. You can't do that, because Allah knows what you pretend and what you have inside. فالمهم, that forgetting is something that is part of the human nature. You are not held accountable for forgetting in terms of the rights of Allah, even the rights of the servants. The person should excuse you. And the Prophet ﷺ said in the narration, Allah has forgiven my nation regarding three things. Among them is forgetfulness. Yani we will not be held accountable for the things that we don't do because we forgot. نعم. والحمد لله على رحمته. ومنها أنه ينبغي للإنسان أن يأخذ من أخلاق الناس ومعاملاتهم العفو منها أو العفو منها وما سمحت به أنفسهم ولا ينبغي له أن يكلفهم ما لا يطيقون أو يشق عليهم ويرهقهم فإن هذا مدعاة إلى النفور منه والسآمة بل يأخذ المتيسر وليتيسر له الأمر. Among the benefits is that a person should have or adorn himself with the best manners, and best conduct, and to forgive the people, pardon the people, And it is not okay, it is not يعني, appropriate for him to be giving the people more than they can handle, or to make things difficult for them, because this will make the people repulsive and just want to run away. But he should take things in ease in order for his affairs to become easy. Of course, as long as it doesn't involve haram. Sometimes when you see something haram, you become jealous and you want to do something about it. And so, you know, this is another point. وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ الْأُمُورَ تَجْرِي أَحْكَامُهَا عَلَى ظَاهِرِهَا وتعلق بها الأحكام الدنيوية وتعلق بها الأحكام الدنيوية في الأموال والدماء وغيرها. Among the benefits is that the affairs are to be judged according to what they apparently, according to their outwardly appearance. Things are judged according to what they look, the way they seem. So if, for example, I may see you, طيب, I may see you, I'm driving down the street and I see one of you with a big stick in his hand, some baseball bat, and he's breaking the window of a car, right? And he gets in the car and he's doing the little electric thing to start the car, and then he takes off and he goes away. I have the right to say that you're a thief. I say, man, this brother is stealing cars, man. He's supposed to be at the Dawah Center and he's out there stealing cars. I have the right to judge according to what is apparent. Apparently this looks like theft. I'm not going to say, oh no, his car broke down and he's only trying to, you know, break the glass and say something along these lines, because most likely this appears to be theft. Otherwise you will get a hanger, you know, and think that nice and easy you will unpull the lock, you will call AAA, oh, they don't have AAA here. You will call whoever comes in and do it for you. You get a spare key, something. Yeah. So basically regarding wealth and blood and everything. Why? فأن موسى عليه السلام أنكى على القدر خرق السفينة وقتل الغلام وأن هذه الأمور ظاهرها أنها من المنكر وموسى عليه السلام لا يسعه السكوت عنها. So because Musa, he reprimanded Al-Khidr for taking out, for making the ship sink and for killing the boy. Because apparently these things appear to be evil. Outwardly, they appear to be evil. And Musa cannot remain silent, because this is evil. You have to enjoin the good and forbid the evil. He seen evil, he had to forbid the evil. That's why he spoke, عليه الصلاة والسلام. في غير هذه الحالة صاحب عليها القدر فاستعجل عليه السلام. This is by default, except in this case with Al-Qadr, because they had already made an agreement with them. Take it easy. Don't ask me about nothing, I will tell you later. You don't have patience, you don't know what I'm doing. He said, I will be okay. So in this case, Musa alayhi salam could have been patient. But by default, when you see something that appears to be evil, then you have the right to judge it as evil. نعم فاستعجل عليه السلام وبادر الحكم في حالتها العامة ولم يلتفت إلى هذا العارض الذي يوجب عليه الصبر وعدم المبادرة إلى الأنكار. So yes, Musa عليه السلام did not, he was hastened to judge and based on what was general, and he did not look sideways to the things that should have made him be more patient, and he shouldn't have been so hasty in doing the inkar, which is forbidding the evil. So نعم ومنها القاعدة الكبيرة الجليلة وهو أنه يدفع الشر الكبير بارتكاب الشر الصغير ويراعى أكبر المصلحتين بتفويت أدناهما. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. بتفويت أدناهما. And among the benefits is the outstanding honorable principle. Not a principle of a school, principle meaning a foundation, like a, you know, like something in principle. Now, and that is avoiding the bigger harm by committing the lesser harm. You avoid the bigger evil by committing the lesser evil. How? You are out there in the desert and you're dying if you don't eat.
He found a pig, and you find a dead cow. Both are haram, but the pig is more haram. If you have to eat one of them, you have no choice but to commit something right now. Of course, it's called evil outwardly, but Allah will not hold you accountable because of necessity. Huh? But apparently, you don't have the pig. You will eat the cow. Although it's dead cow. And you know, in Islam, you cannot eat an animal that you find just lying dead. It has to be slaughtered properly. But because both are evil and harmful, you choose the lesser one. Because the pig is the pig. And you know what the pig is. Versus a cow, which you would eat while it was alive. You will eat it alive, but you won't eat it dead. The pig, you will not eat it alive or dead. So in this case, you eat the cow versus the pig. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because of the principle, avoid you do the lesser evil to prevent the bigger evil. Lesser evil to do the to prevent the bigger evil. A. Now, and you see which one is more beneficial and what have you. We still we commit the lesser evil to prevent the bigger evil. If it's inevitable, you have to do one of the two. نعم. فإن قتل الغلام شر ولكن بقاءه حتى يفتن أبويه عن دينهما أعظم شرا منه. A. Killing the boy is evil, right or wrong?
No, right.
I mean, I hope you think it's wrong. You know, you walk down the street, you see a boy, you just chop his head off.
Yeah.
You better think this is evil. But you know what was more evil? Him remaining alive and causing his two parents to become disbelievers. It's evil to kill a child, but it is more evil to have him as a disbeliever and his parents. Why? Number one, as a boy, if you are killed, you're not held accountable. You're among the inhabitants of paradise. Right? Because you have not reached the age of puberty where you are responsible. So the boy will become among the people of Jannah. His parents will be protected from the fitna by him. So perhaps Allah intended good for them, meaning Allah intended to take him to Jannah. Because Allah did not want them to become disbelievers through the boy, so he had the boy go away. So three of them will wind up in paradise, wallahu alam, versus the three of them going to the fire. Because he would have made his parents disbelievers, because apparently he was going to be a disbeliever or some wicked guy. So look at this benefit, which is three people going to paradise versus going to the hellfire versus the killing of a boy. This is a major evil, and this is evil. But you commit the lesser evil in order to prevent the bigger evil. That's why Al-Khidr alayhi salam killed him by the will of Allah. He wasn't acting on his own. Allah had given him knowledge that this is what's going to happen in the future, so he handled business in the present. Naam. وبقاء الغلام من دون قتل ومن دون قتل وعصمته وان كان يظن انه خير فالخير ببقاء دين ابويه وايمانهما خير من ذلك فلذلك قتله الخضر وتحت هذه القاعده من الفروع والفوائد ما لا يدخل تحت الحصر فتزاحم المصالح والمفاسد كلها فتزاحم المصالح والمفاسد كلها داخل في هذا. The Shaykh said, this is why Al-Khidr killed him. And under this principle in Islam are a huge number of branches and benefits. This principle that we just mentioned, everything in Islam pertaining to benefits and harm, they go under this. Yani in your daily life, at your job, nah, there may be two evils. One that is major and one that is minor. If you understood this qaida, you will learn that you will do the lesser evil if you have to do evil. You don't go for the evil in order to avoid the greater evil. You know? You will weigh things out and say, listen man, this is bad, but this is very, very bad. I better stick around with this little bad over here before I get the very, very bad. Something along these lines now. ومنها القاعدة الكبيرة أيضا وهي أن عمل الإنسان في مال غيره وإذا كان على وجه المصلحة وإزالة المفسدة أنه يجوز ولو بلا إذن حتى ولو ترتب على عمله إتلاف بعض مال الغير. Another principle the Shaykh deduced from this particular story is that it is permissible for the person who is working with the wealth, who is working using the wealth and the money of someone else, it's permissible for him to use it in order either to attain a benefit or to avoid a harm without asking the permission, without seeking the permission of the person, even if this action is going to entail that some of the money will be lost. For example, a person assigns you to take care of his building. A person assigns you to take care of his building. Some fire comes about, and he's giving you 50,000 riyals as your whatever. He said, this money is for you to use in order to keep this building protected. The fire starts, doing whatever. It starts burning the building. Here, although you have no permission from this person, you will call the fire department, which already have an agreement that they will charge you 20,000 riyals in order to put out the fire. You call the fire department, they come and they do whatever they do. Maybe also, because of their arrival, they may have to hit the car. The car is parked in a very inconvenient location, and the water thing is right behind the car. So they will have to crash into the car in order to hook up the water from the thing and the hose, something along these lines. Some other harm is going to come out. It is permissible for the person to do all that with the person's money, without his permission. Why? Because if he doesn't do so, the whole building will be burnt. Even if the car is going to be broken. It's better to lose the car and keep half of the building rather than losing the whole building and the car. Because maybe the fire will eventually burn the car in the street. طيب? Something along these lines. Wallahu a'lam. حتى ويترتب على أيوة كما خرق القدر السفينة لتعيب فتسلم من غضب الملك الظالم. The same way Al-Qadr, he punched a hole into the ship in order to become deficient, to have a flaw, in order that so the oppressive ruler will not take it. فعلى هذا لو وقع حرق أو غرق أو نحوهما في دار إنسان أو ماله وكان إتلاف بعض المال أو هدم بعض الدار فيه سلامة للباقي جاز للإنسان بل شرع له ذلك. The Shaykh said, so if some sort of fire or drowning or something along these lines happened to the house of an individual or to his wealth, and if he had to destroy or ruin some of the money or destroy some of the house in order for the safety of the remaining of it, it is permissible for the person to do that in order to protect the wealth of someone else. وكذلك لو أراد ظالم أخذ مال الغير ودفع إليه إنسان بعض المال ابتداء للباقي جاز ولو من غير إذن. Likewise, if a thief comes to you, and says, give me, he's going to steal the house. طيب? And he has a gun. So you bargain with him. You work in the house. He tells him, I'll give you 10,000 riyals to sleep. Okay? At least it will not be a robbery. Because if you come and rob the house, the police may chase you, you may get caught, you may be in trouble. I'm telling you, leave all this alone. Take 10,000 riyals and walk away like nothing happened. In this particular case, it is permissible for you to do that. Because if you there's a greater harm, the person robbing the whole house, maybe killing you also, because you're a witness. So you bargain with them, you give them the money. Now this 10,000 riyals is not even yours. This 10,000 riyals belongs to the owner of the house. But you're using his money. Without his permission, you don't call him, hold on, let me call my boss. Hey, someone is about to steal your house. You think I should give it? Yeah, it's not going to work. You're going to make your own decision right then and there. It is permissible for you to do that. Because otherwise there's going to be a greater harm, which is the robbery of the whole house. You understand the principle? Khairan, inshaAllah. ومنها, among the other benefits, أن العمل يجوز في البحر كما يجوز في البر. لقوله يعملون في البحر ولم ينكر عليهم عملهم. عملهم. Also, it's the permissibility of having a job or working in the sea. يعني whether you are fisher, you fish like a fisherman, or you are a scuba diver, you look for some jewelry downstairs, or something along these lines. It's permissible to work in the ocean because Allah described them that they work. يعملون في البحر, they work in the sea, and Allah did not reprimand them for that. ومنها أن المسكين قد يكون له مال ولا يبلغ كفايته ولا يخرج بذلك عن اسم المسكنة، لأن الله أخبر أن هؤلاء المساكين لهم سفينة. Among the benefits is that the person may have some money, but not enough to fully support him. He still is considered a miskeen. He's still considered a poor person. Even if he has some money, يعني being poor doesn't mean you are zero. You have to have nothing. You may have some, but not enough to handle your business, not enough to feed you and your family, not enough to maintain you. Then you still consider the miskeen, because Allah Azza wa Jalla told us that these are masakeen. They are working in the ocean, but they have a ship. They own a ship, and they're working, but they were still called masakeen. MashaAllah. ومنها أن القتل من أكبر الذنوب لقوله في قتل الغلام لقد جئت شيئا نكرا. Among the benefits is that killing is among the most violent, among the most big sins. طيب the major sins, or they call them grave sins. Killing is among the most grave sins. So what we see today from people killing people in large numbers, those who ascribe themselves to Islam, Allahu A'lam about their, we assume so, but we assume they're mistaken. Those who go kill people in large numbers by blowing them up and doing something along these lines by means that Allah did not reveal, and go into a marketplace or somewhere where people are not in the state of jihad, and you just blow them up, killing people that may be Muslims also among them and non-Muslims. This is among the most major sins, killing a soul aggressively. And there's no such thing in Islam. Actually, during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, with all the jihad that the Muslims had to have with the non-Muslims, all the people that died were around 300 or some. If you look at World War I and World War II, there was what, billions of people who were killed. So when the Muslims were having battles with the non-Muslims who were trying to destroy Islam, it wasn't about shedding blood. It was about the word of Allah being established on earth. So if the people gave up, then the Muslims would leave him alone. And Allah taught us this in the Quran. If they lean towards peace, lean toward it. If they want peace, go for peace. Because peace is better than war. But if you think you, who disbelieve in Allah and disbelieve in His Messenger, and you propagate a religion other than that which Allah is pleased with, and you are causing corruption upon earth, and not only that, you want to go to the believers and you want to make their lives difficult, and you want to kill them, and you want to keep their wives, and you want to rape their children, and you think everything is going to be nice and dandy for you, you have a misconception about life. And this is how the disbelievers behave in this particular day. And but this is okay for them, because they don't consider this to be wrong. This is totally fine. But a Muslim, whenever you say jihad, you say, look at these Muslims, they use war, and why do you have to have war? Why do you have all these machine guns and nuclear weapons? If you were so peaceful, for the sake of Allah, remain in your country and have peace. Instead of having all these gangsters driving around shooting each other in the streets over there, in the States. Where's the peace, man? A violent society. People are so violent that the child, 11, 12 years old, one day he kills his mom, dad, the neighbors, and then he kills himself. Because all day is violence. His country is violent, he gets violence. But they call it freedom and peace and habara and batikh. Wallahi, they are like the cattle, but they are more straight. Anyways, they will see on the day of judgment what Allah has prepared for them. ومنها أن القتل قصاصا غير منكر لقوله بغير نفس. Also, of course, you know in Islam the ruling, if you kill, you will be killed. طيب. If you kill, you will be killed. If you cut off someone's ear, someone will cut off your ear. If you punch someone, you will be punched. It's called قصاص. يعني you will get an equal punishment to the one that you have done. You understand what I'm saying? Regarding some things. Regarding something. So for example, killing someone will entail you being killed. Unless the family of the people pardon you. Or something along these lines. So this is okay unless, you know, نعم. ومنها أن العبد الصالح يحفظه الله في نفسه وفي ذريته. Among the benefits that the righteous servant, Allah Azza wa Jal will protect him and his offspring, his children.
because this person here, these two righteous people, Allah Azza wa Jal caused their child to pass away as means of protection for them. Also the two young orphans, whom they كان أبوهما صالحاً. Their father was righteous. Allah Azza wa Jal allowed Qadr to build the wall, destroy it and then rebuild it in order for their wealth and the treasure to remain safe, because Allah was taking care of them because their father was righteous. So based on our righteousness, Allah will protect our children. First, you will be protected because you're righteous. Second, your children will be protected accordingly. ومنها أن خدمة الصالحين أو من يتعلق بهم أفضل من غيرها، لأنه علل استخراج كنزهما وإقامة جدارهما بأن أباهما صالح. Among it is this is important for us actually. Service to the righteous people and being attached to them and trying to work with them is better than working with others. Because Al-Khadr, he gave the excuse of removing their treasure and rectifying the wall, that because their father was righteous. So basically he was working, it's as if he is working for them. And likewise, if you have a choice between a kafil, if you have 5, 6, 7 options of which kafil, look for the one who seems to be most pious. Even if the salary may be less, Allah will facilitate your affairs and He'll be blessing in the money if He allows you to pray and do the things. But if you get some busted kafil who's always concerned about is making money, even if you miss the salah, even if you miss all the obligations of Islam, لا خير فيه, no goodness in him. So service to the righteous people is better than service to others. And this is similar to you nowadays, or what they call mutawwir. Now if you notice, if you let your beard grow, when you go to a store, you will get a special treatment. Special treatment. This is by nature. People will say, you're mutawwir, only 4 riyals for you. He will sell it to someone else for 10 riyals. You're a mutawwir, no problem, it's on me today. You're a mutawwir, I will take you there. You're a mutawwir, Allah, mutawwir takes you a long way. Of course, mutawwir is not just having a beard. Because you may have a beard and be the most wicked person that walks on the planet. Huh? And I don't want to say I know some, but there are some who have a beard, but Allah musta'an. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you're righteous, but people assume that if you have a beard, you're righteous. But that's not always the case. Righteousness is in here. But if everything is okay here, everything is going to be okay outside. If everything here is mia mia, everything outside is mia mia. Everything outside may be mia mia, but not everything inside may be mia mia. Mafhoom? It works this way, but it doesn't work the other way. Right. So anyways, people like to give service to the what so-called righteous people. If somebody has a beard and they assume he's righteous, they like to give you some nice service. And they have a name for you also, besides Muhammad. This is all things I had to learn when I came here, because I didn't know any of this stuff. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, ahlan wa sahlan, after 37 minutes and 33 seconds. Where is this, ya Shaykh? Ma'alish. I just read that you should forgive the people. So I'll forgive you today, inshallah, because of what we read. طيب ومنها استعمال الأدب مع الله تعالى في الألفاظ. Now this is very nice. فأن الخضر أضاف عيب السفينة إلى نفسه بقوله فأردت أن أعيبها. وأما الخير فأضافه إلى الله تعالى فأراد ربك أن يبلغا أشدهما ويستخرجا كنزهما رحمة من ربك. كما قال إبراهيم عليه السلام وإذا مرضت فهو يشفين. وقال الجن وأن لا ندري أشر أريد بمن في الأرض أم أراد بهم ربهم رشدا. الله أكبر. والله this is from the eloquence of the Quran, particularly in Arabic. This is very sensitive. This is very nice. Look at this. Having the right mannerism in word, in using the correct word while speaking or attributing things to Allah. Because Al-Khidr, when he mentioned the fault that he put in the ship, he attributed that. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Al-Khidr, when he made the fault in the ship, he said it to himself. He said, fa'aratu, I wanted. Notice now. Al-Khidr, is he acting on himself or based on what Allah had told him?
Based on
what Allah had taught him, right? He could have said, Allah wanted me to put a hole in the ship. Huh? Allah wanted that I put a hole in the ship. He didn't say, he said, I wanted to put a hole in the ship. Why? Because it appears to be evil. He was had adab, etiquette with the speech. He did not want to attribute something that appears to be evil to Allah. So he attributed it to himself. He said, فأردت, I wanted to have a problem or have a fault in it. But he, Khidr, when he spoke about goodness, he attributed to Allah Azza wa Jal. He said, فَأَرَادَ رَبُّكَ أَن يَبْلُغَ. When he spoke about the two orphans, he said, your Lord wanted that they reach age, the age of adolescence or being able to take care of their business and remove their treasure. Mercy from your Lord. So in the first one he says, فَأَرَدْتُ, I wanted to put a fault in the ship. When he spoke about goodness, he said, فَأَرَادَ رَبُّكَ, your Lord wanted that they, you understand what I'm saying? So this is, the evil is attributed to a person. If he wants to say evil, he doesn't refer to Allah. Only goodness. This is similar to the statement of Ibrahim. فَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينِ. If I become sick, Allah gives me, Allah heals me. Who made him sick to begin with? Allah. In reality, it's Allah who made him sick and Allah who will give him the healing, right? He didn't say, and if he makes me sick, he heals me, because that would be bad, too adab. If I become sick, although nothing happens except by the will of Allah, فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ, Allah heals me. SubhanAllah, see, this is nice. It brings a little twinkly to the heart when you really think about it. That the prophets and the messengers, and those righteous people, they're very particular about their wording. They don't just say anything like we do, Allah musta'an, see, just anything comes to mind, we throw it out. And this is similar to the jinn, who also said, and that verily we do not know whether evil has been intended for the people upon earth, or did their Lord want for them some guidance. They didn't say, and we do not know whether Allah had intended evil for the people on earth or whether He intended goodness for them. No. And we do not know whether evil was intended by whom? They didn't mention. Huh? To the people upon earth or whether their Lord, now they referred it to Allah, intended for them guidance. So notice in the Quran, all throughout, this is from the eloquence of the Quran. No book on earth is like that. No book on earth is like that. So specific, we don't pay attention to these things. That's why you need scholars, alhamdulillah. ممتاز. هذه فائدة طيبة جدا. ومنها أنه ينبغي للصاحب أن لا يفارق صاحبه في حالة من الأحوال ويترك صحبته حتى يعتبه ويعذر منه كما فعل الخضر مع موسى. Also is that a person, a companion, should not leave his friend, in any case, and he should not leave his companionship until the person tells them, okay, khalas, we'll be going in our own separate ways, as Al-Khidr did with Musa. Musa remained with them until Al-Khidr told him, no more. Otherwise, you remain with your companion. ومنها أن موافقة الصاحب لصاحبه في غير الأمور المحذورة مدعاة وسببا لبقاء الصحبة وتأكدها كما أن عدم الموافقة سببا لقطع المرافقة. Also, is that the person agreeing with his friend is if two people agree on something unless it is prohibited, then this is a reason for their companion, for their friendship to remain. يعني them being in agreement about something unless it's haram, is a reason for the friendship to remain. Naam. Likewise, if they disagree on things, is a reason why they will no longer be friends, right? Because you like to do something, he likes to do something. If you agree on things, you will remain friends. If you don't agree on things, you will no longer remain friends. Naam. ومنها أن هذه القضايا التي أجراها الخضر هي قدر محض قدر محض أجراها الله وجعلها على يد هذا العبد الصالح
ليستدل العباد بذلك على ألطافه في أقضيته، وأنه يقدر على العبد أمورا يكرهها جدا وهي صلاح دينه، الله أكبر، كما في قضية الغلام، أو هي صلاح دنياه كما في قضية السفينة. فأراهم نموذجا من لطفه، من لطفه وكرمه، ليعرفوا ويرضوا غاية الرضا بأقداره المكروهة. Listen to this يا شباب. Among the benefits is that these things and these affairs that Allah عز وجل had decreed through Khidr are nothing but the will and decree of Allah. Straight up, that Allah had made to take place through the hands of His righteous servant, which is Al-Khidr. Why? In order for the servants, us, to look into it and to see the gentleness of Allah Azza wa Jal in His decree. Allah is gentle and merciful even in the things that He decrees, even if they may appear to be otherwise. Because Allah may decree upon one of us something that we hate a lot. Allah might decree that something happens to you that makes you very, very, very sad, right? But in it will be the perfection of your religion. Just like the boy. How did his parents feel when their child was killed? This may have been something that they hated a lot, right? They were unhappy, inevitably. If they're normal people, their child passed away, they're going to be very unhappy. Yet, although this Allah decreed this, which seems to be very evil, and the people will not like it, in it is Allah protecting their hereafter. In it is Allah protecting their iman, that Allah will prevent them from, will not allow the sun to be a source of fitna for them. So look at the things. So that way we don't want to limit our sight. We only look at what appears to be something that we don't dislike. Rather, they might be in the wisdom of Allah something that is much better than that. So it may be the perfection of the deen, كما في قضية الغلام, as was the case with the غلام, the young boy, أو هي صلاح الدنيا, or maybe the dunya, that Allah Azza wa Jalla will rectify your dunya, as it was in the case with the ship. Because in the case with the ship, now they have to pay some money to fix the ship, right? This is better than not having the ship at all. And maybe you will lose your job, and you will be sad, and you say, how this, I am worse, I'm praying 5 times a day in the masjid, I am doing this, and now I get fired? How am I going to get paid? How am I going to pay money? How am I going to get rent? How? And you start freaking out, and you start, the shaitan start playing games with you, say, oh, why is Allah doing this to me? And I thought Allah is merciful, and where's the mercy? The shaitan, this is all crazy, by the way. Yeah. And you start going into this dilemma, and you do not know that Allah Azza wa Jal wanted you to get fired from this job because He has a job much better for you waiting. And if you're not patient, and if you don't open your mind and realize that the decree of Allah is as such, and Allah is merciful and wise, you may start complaining about the decree of Allah and wind up getting nothing. So we are supposed to be patient. Perhaps Allah will cause something that you hate, that you dislike, happen to you in order to protect either your religion or even your dunya, even your world. You may lose a job and get something much better. Huh? So we don't know about these things. Nah. And this is just a sample of the mercy and the gentleness of Allah and His generosity. So the people will become completely satisfied with what He has decreed for them from that which they dislike. Nah. And with that said, we will stop actually. We have completed, by the grace of Allah, all the benefits that the Shaykh rahimahullah deduced from the story of Musa al-Khidr, which is a large number. And that tells you the importance of scholars in Islam and knowledge. And honestly, one of us will not be able to do that. One of us will not be able to deduce all these benefits from the story, even if we read it a million times, unless we learn, we have more knowledge. This is the virtue of the people of knowledge and what Allah has given them and entrusted them to keep this deen sound and safe from those innovators and from the misguided people and from the disbelievers who are trying to destroy the religion of Islam. Allah has protected this deen through the scholars who interpret the book of Allah according to the way of the righteous predecessors, and they deliver the information in its most correct form.
So praise be to Allah for keeping scholars among us, and praise be to Allah for allowing us to live in the land of the scholars. Because you may go to another country and you will not even come across one or two maybe in the whole country. They may be a lot of so-called scholars, but they have some issues. So this is the end of the benefits. Insha'Allah, next week we will begin with verse 83 and the story of Dhulqarnayn. Dhulqarnayn. And we will see what Allah had given that particular brother. And inshallah, I ask Allah to make us benefit from that which we heard, and to increase us in beneficial knowledge, and to forgive us our sins and shortcomings, and to bestow His mercy upon us. Walhamdulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa sallam tasliman kathira. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.